Dwayne Bryant joins us. He is an expert, an activist, and creator of The New Conversation, which is a multi-series that addresses the tension between police and the black community. Mr. Bryant, welcome to our broadcast. Well, I thought I was going to be speaking with Dwayne. Oh, there you are, Dwayne. I got you now. I hear you.
Sorry about that. I had the phone on mute so you wouldn't hear any of the background noise over here.
Oh, we don't pay any attention. We're glad you're here.
Hey, it is a pleasure to be here. How are you today?
You know what? It's splendid here in Louisville. I don't know if you could hear the newscast that was just on, but they're saying they're shutting down the federal courthouse all next week here because they expect the results of the Breonna Taylor police investigation. That means the investigation into the police officers involved in the shooting of Breonna Taylor. They expect the results to come out. And obviously, I think city leaders are rightfully concerned that there could be some pretty intense pushback. Now, you study...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You guys are going to have militias and all kinds of exciting things happening in your city.
We have had for over 100 days now since, I think, late March is when they actually got started. But you are an alumni of the FBI Citizens Academy. Tell me what you learned in that, because I know you wanted to learn how law enforcement methodology works. So what did you take away from it?
Oh, wow. Well, let me say this. It was about 9 to 12 weeks of trainings, one night a week, three hours per night, then simulations, then gun range, then explosives, et cetera. We learned so much, Terry. We learned about what the FBI currently does, their field officers, what an agent does, what their tactical unit does, what their investigative unit. We had a chance to go to D.C., to the J. Edgar Hoover building. We had an opportunity to go to their, it escapes my mind right now, but it's like the forensic lab and all of that stuff, to see just how detailed and meticulous the FBI is and investigating. We also learned that one of the number one threats in America is HGVEs, homegrown violent extremists. These are extremist organizations that are literally a threat to national security. We learned that many neo-Nazis and white supremacists have joined law enforcement across the country. So it was so much. We learned, you know, different things that the FBI is doing in terms of trying to partner with communities. Because I believe there's only like maybe 18 or 20,000 agents nationwide, which is not a lot. And so in order for them to be effective, they must be able to partner with and have great relationships with local leaders in different communities and different cities, different states, et cetera. So I also have a much greater respect for the FBI because, you know, I just knew them as the person who killed Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And now I have a much greater respect.
Indeed. You think the FBI killed Martin Luther King?
Well, according to the FBI files themselves, they definitely had some intelligence on that and had a lot of influence in that, absolutely. Those are according to FBI files.
How do you suppose the screening methodology is so inadequate that people who would be white supremacists are able to still get on police forces?
Well, it's really easy because here's the deal. There's over 18,000 law enforcement agencies. So if I drove from Chicago or Florida to Louisville, I will guarantee you I would have to drive through at least 100 or so different towns and municipalities that have different law enforcement agencies. So those agencies, the minimum requirement is a high school diploma. So if you can imagine Louisville or some other smaller city near, you know, they need men and women to protect and serve, quote unquote. And so it could be just a good old boy system. It could be, hey, my son needs a job. So it could be anything. There's no federal standards. There's no state standards. So it's pretty much a decentralized law enforcement organization. And they develop some of their own rules, some of their own training. Some of it may be state guidelines and things of that nature, but there are no absolute minimums other than, you know, a high school graduate, some training on tactical training, first aid training, state laws, defense, gun, discharging of firearm, things of that nature. So it's easy. It's really, really easy.
as you know, there have been changes made here in terms of police reform. That was part of the $12 million settlement with the estate of Breonna Taylor, which includes reforms that address issues like no-knock warrants. The police will still say there are occasions when the no-knock warrant is absolutely necessary. If there's human trafficking involved, there's a hostage situation, there are other things. But a lot of people have been asking, why go to Breonna Taylor's house at midnight or thereafter when you could have taken care of that business the next morning? Just have somebody wait out and then wait for the whoever it is you're waiting for to come out.
Yeah, well, actually, it was 1 o'clock a.m. on March 13th. And I do agree there should be times when a no-knock warrant is valid. However, when you have things like this that go so wrong, it makes it difficult to justify.
Indeed. Well, they're talking about all kinds of different reforms, and some of them also have to do with the database you're talking about as well, the compilation of information about people from all over. You wrote a book called The Stop, Improving Police and Community Relations, and part of that's about a police stop, of course. And a lot of people, particularly white people, will say, well, you know, I keep my hands on the steering wheel, too. Why is that so difficult for people to understand if you just say, yes, sir, officer, and you keep your hands on the steering wheel? Why is that such a problem for anyone?
Well, you know, here's what's interesting, right? So that goes back to the conversation of all you have to do is comply. Well,
right.
That sounds good, but the reality is there's this little thing called implicit and explicit bias, which we all have. However, if you are the officer that has it and you have a gun and a badge and you just happen to not like me as a black man, me sitting or moving slower or maybe moving faster means more to you. And so what's happening is many officers dehumanize people of color without even giving them the same regard that they may do a white person. For instance, case in point, we just had a police shooting, two police shootings in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They pulled this young man over, a white guy. They talked to him for 15 minutes and 36 seconds. They asked him over 35 times to please get out of the car. Please get out of the car. We're going to tase you. What was her name? Sandra Bland was yanked out of the car by a male officer after asking her two or three times. So some of this is not just about are you complying. Some of this is about the police discretion. Some of this is about police having a bias against the person that they're stopping, because if they think they're criminal, if they think they're violent, if they think they may lose their life, if they think so, the worst place for a black person to be is in the mind of a police officer that they are a criminal, even though it could be a fully college-educated doctor sitting in the car. So it's not always about comply. Sometimes and oftentimes, color plays more of a role than what it should.
Another issue that you've addressed in the past that I was reading about is why youth, younger people, are likely to run from the police. Because I think a lot of people scratch their heads and go, well, wait a minute, why are you running? So go ahead, take it from there.
Okay, that's a great question. The question is, why are youth running? In 2016, the Department of Justice came to Chicago. They went to Ferguson. They went to Baltimore. And they took a look at those police departments. And in many of those departments, they had similar findings, such as this. Officers engage in a pattern and practice of using force, including deadly force, that is unreasonable. Officers do not, the police departments do not provide adequate training and guidance for their officers. They fail to hold officers accountable. Many officers have a pattern and practice of force of violating the constitutional rights. They engage in tactically unsound and unnecessary foot pursuits that oftentimes lead to them unreasonably shooting someone, and oftentimes officers shoot at vehicles without justification. And there was a lot more than just that. So if I'm a child, and everything that's in this report, I've seen it, I've heard it, and I've seen it in my community, the real question is, why wouldn't they run?
Talking with Dwayne Bryant. Okay, we're going to have to wrap here. We're going to run out of time, but I'm going to send people to your website to read more, but you talk about the ways to repair this breach is mutual respect and shared responsibility and personal accountability. So give me a synopsis of what you mean by that.
Absolutely. Everyone, and I say this, and sometimes I get in trouble by the black community, but I say that everyone in a police encounter is responsible for the outcome, We cannot put the onus only on law enforcement. So we need to be mindful of our words, our tone, our body language, what we say and how we say it. Same thing with the officer. We need to both be thinking at this encounter, you know, do I want this 20-minute encounter to derail 20 years of my life? And when we really start thinking about that and thinking of the other person and not just ourselves, then we can easily create mutual respect, shared responsibility, and accountability. And I think that everyone wants to go home safely, not just the citizen, not just the police officer. And if we really begin to understand that, we can mitigate a lot of these problems that are happening.
Dwayne Bryant, great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, great talking to you as well.
All right, DwayneBryant.com is the website. You spell his first name D-W-A-Y-N-E, DwayneBryant.com.